Blog Talk Radio.
Folks, this is The Diary. This is your host, Stacy, and I'm here on Sunday, September 26th, and I'm here on a beautiful Sunday in Sacramento with Elijah, who's outside, you know, enjoying the patio area. Once he realizes I'm on the phone, he'll come in and join me, I'm certain. And, you know, just want to talk today, you know, Africans in America. You know, none of us know our black history enough, and I could teach on it every week, a little bit every week about something, which I'll probably do. But, you know, as everybody knows, the craziness of the black church in the South. And I have to, you know, of course, we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about, you know, Africans in America. We're going to talk about a little bit of that. But, you know, it's, first of all, let me thank the listener that made me a favorite, and I hope you guys continue to do so, because I don't only do this to hear myself talk, although I do listen right after, and sometimes I catch the dumbest mistakes. And just to let you know, I type everything myself. I'm a terrible speller. I've always admitted it, but I'm gorgeous at math, so, you know, I'll take that. But understand that when you read some of my stuff, and even I have to go back and say, what was I doing? Too many adult beverages. I use R-A-R-E instead of O-U-R, and it's like, that damn American language. So, yes, understand that. So if anybody at any time would like to partner up with me and proofread my stuff before I send it out, please let me know. No problems. I'm looking for a co-host. I think I got one, but, you know, we got to work those kinds of things out. And the chat line is up, and I just want to thank people for listening to the show. We do have a lot of listeners, and there is something very important to say. You know, I'm black. That's all I know, and I know black experience. And most of it, you know, I just feel for my black people. And this whole last week with this Eddie Long crap, you know, it's just amazing to me. It's amazing to me, and that's how I know my soul is different. And that when you know that you are different, then it is your obligation to stand up and to do something for people that can't help themselves. You know, how do you live with yourself as a human, not as a man, not as a preacher, a bishop? How do you live with yourself getting on a pulpit, okay, and representing the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you accused of doing this kind of stuff? I mean, how do you, first of all, as a human, I wouldn't even know. I'd probably shot myself in the head a long time ago. Nobody would have been able to out me, because I would have outed myself, because I would not, my soul just could not have. But then again, I would have never done that, because my soul can't even conceive that. And then you have these black people that are defending this fool. Okay, maybe if one guy came, okay, even Michael Jackson, one came out, and okay, one. But you got four, oh, and they may be 30. But then once again, you are representative of Christ. You are representative of Jesus. And there's no, here he goes, he knows I'm on the phone. There's no race of people that have always had to use Jesus for mere survival than the black people. And here you go, using it, abusing young kids, man. He better be glad I'm not in his town, because I just would have socked him in his ball. And his wife, what the fuck? And then they say so many people knew it and just covered it. I don't understand that. Now, I mean, as we study our African-American history, you know, in the whole 19th century, the only black institution that there ever was the church. If the very first black institution in this country was the church, because we so desperately needed God to lift us out of that so fucked up situation called slavery. We ran to the church. That's when the black church began, during this whole period we're going to be talking about, and it's actually named Brotherly Love. Through 1791, from 1791 to 1831 is when the black church the AME, whatever those are, all the fucked up names they got for them, whatever the name, that's when they all evolved during that time. And that was the only black institution because that's how people basically lifted ourselves out of slavery, through the church. And this false zealot motherfucker has, oh, where's Elijah? All right, he's deep in TV. He has 25,000 members that he's leading to Jesus this way, man. He needs his balls cut off. Anyway, I don't understand it. How could people even cover for him? You know, and then I heard somebody on Fox News talking about the sensual, yeah, this is all a part of the sensualization of the black church in the South. Those two words shouldn't even go together, sensualization and church. I'm like, come on, people. So, and now I understand why my dad left the South and became the other fucked up religion that's messed people up, Catholic. But that's my whole point, is that we find our relationship with God through God and ourselves and not through man. But just to know that, you know, that people back this dude, that's just disgraceful. And that's why I had to hurry up and go get the only male member of my family that I do have around, Mr. Elijah, because, you know, it's bad enough the white man abuses these black boys. And then you put your sons in the hands of the so-called bishop that's supposed to try to nurture him. And then he waits until they're above the legal age, so at least he won't go to jail for it. And then he starts being very perverse when he should be spiritual and lifting them up, buying them homes, buying them cars. You know, it's just a disgrace. And that's why we need to understand our history. We need to understand ourselves. Black people need to look within self to find the higher authority and not all these fake zealots. I mean, I got examples here in Sacramento. You got to do 10 million things before they'll accept you in your church. I mean, church isn't a social club. You know, it's supposed to be a receiving of the souls where sick people go to get healed. And there's just so much bullshit behind it. And if you don't go to church, oh, you don't go to church on Sunday? No, because you're there and I know you, and ain't no churching going on. It's all a bunch of bullshit. So I don't understand. I don't understand what's going on in Black America, where nobody, once again, you don't hear anybody denouncing anything about it. You know, nobody of any prominence is saying anything about it. And that's my second point. Where is the Black moral authority for Black America? Who stands up for Black America and says, you know what, these things are right, these things are wrong, you know, let's who's the architect for what's to come in Black America? That's what I want to know. I'm the architect of my family, you know, for sure, and myself, and we doing pretty good. You know, now we've come to a wider awakening now that white people just as broke as black people. We see, oh, they do it to their own. And it's all about a new way of thinking. You got to think a new way in 2010 if you plan on surviving. And then you go to church and these fake people, you know, I mean, when your pastor's driving a Bentley, and we think that's cool, though, and that's cool that the pastor gets to drive a Bentley and has a jet. What's cool about, why are you doing that? Put that money into all the poverty that's rampant in this country in terms of black people. Put that money, Oprah, taking her ass to Africa. Put it into the black kids that are here in America. I don't understand. Where is the moral authority, the authority for black America? The only reason why we got Martin Luther King, because we forced him. Where is the black moral authority in America? I mean, as much as I love T.D. Jakes, you got to have a special membership just to hear him on, or you can't find him nowhere on TV. Well, on the other hand, Joyce Meyer, somebody I've followed for years, she come on 5 times before noon. You can find her. You know, why is it the black people are so special and elite when it comes to church? You know, that's not why the black church was invented. It was to save our souls and to lift us out of slavery, and it was all about togetherness and the family and building things together and sticking together. And Lord knows the black male is already the predator in this country, and now a black man's making them even more of a predator. My God. People need to wake their asses up. Wake up, black people. You need to wake up and figure out we need to do something a little different. There's got to be a better way. There's got to be a different way. I'm tired of the black young male being everybody's punching bag and everybody's target. It's a shame. We should be ashamed of ourselves as a race of people. I mean, I'm ashamed. That's why I get on this motherfucker every Sunday. I'm a fucking ashamed of being black. Everything black is bad. All the kids, the black kids are dumb. Highest pregnancy, highest, lowest, everything. I'm ashamed. And I'm willing to put my fucking neck out here to try to make a difference. And I wish somebody else with some money would do the same damn thing. And don't join a church if you don't see any results other than the fucking pastor getting a physique and a fucking Bentley. I'm going to take a break and give Elijah a kiss. Maybe he'll come back and talk. Elijah! Camille! Okay, he said he's going to host the next 5 minutes. We'll be back. This is the Love Doctor. This is a diary. This is Elijah and Grandma on a Sunday afternoon talking about black people and how they want to abuse the little black boys. We're going to talk about some black history. And as I look at Elijah, you know, I'd have to kill somebody. Well, as I look at Freddie and Chris, I'd have to kill somebody for putting their hands on my sons, grandsons, sons. And, you know, I need black people to get... Jesse, send me Elijah. Yeah, we did. So I clicked on some music, interested to see how that turns out. So we're back on the Diarrhea on Sunday. It's 3:15, so we're going to try to keep going and keep talking. And one of our phones died, so we're down to one more. So hopefully this one won't die. Either it got died or it died. But we're talking about Eddie Long and messing with little boys and churches and zealots, and we need to stop. And just a couple more examples. You know, and I know I'm on the right track. And like I said before, my biggest problem is letting people influence my perception of myself. And I think that's what most of us do. If somebody says you can't do something, you're not going to do it. And this country is good for telling black people what they can't do. See, and it's a new awakening for me and hopefully a whole lot of people as the years go by. So, you know, as time had gone by for me, you know, my program's been in existence, or at least I've developed it for 10 years. And I, first place, like most black people did back in the slavery time, right? Churches got us out of slavery. Church also got us out of our struggles during the civil rights movement, right? All the churches banded together and began to work together as, you know, for this common goal to give us our rights, you know? So that's what I tried to do with my program. I'm going to go to a church. There's Elijah. I'm going to go to a church and see, hey, I have this program. I'd be more than happy. Could you look at it, blah, blah, blah. And every time that I would go, it would be a situation where we already have a program like it, or I have to graduate from 10 of their courses and pay $80 a course in order for them to even look at it. So to me, in my heart of hearts, that, you know, it was never right. So, you know, this is where we are, black people. This is where we put ourselves. You know, we put emphasis on bullshit. I mean, we do. Who are our leaders? Athletes and musicians, not doctors and lawyers. And I mean, yeah, we got a black president, but he's not our black leader. Who is our black leader? And then we can't even go to Elijah. Grandma's talking. And then we can't even go to church and be led in the right direction. So that's what the Association of African American Single Mothers is all about. You know, it turned from helping single moms to helping these boys that are lost. And, you know, that's what we do. That's what we're going to try to do. And through our education programs, and now that we are a No Child Left Behind tutor, that's just like, I'm so thrilled. All that stuff is going good. We're already contacting parents. The list comes out this week, and I see this as a wonderful opportunity for me not to only make math fun for kids, which it really, Elijah, which it will really, really should be, and it gives me an opportunity to incorporate all the other programs and teach black history to the kids. I mean, it's vital that we know our history. I'm going to say that to the cows come home. Every race of people, every culture of people understand the importance of knowing their history. But because our history in this country is so fucked up, so messed up that, I mean, of course, nobody wants to talk about it, share it, get to the bottom of it because it's really one-sided. But in order for us to grow as a nation right now at this point, I think we need to focus on it for nothing, no other reason, for our kids. We need to focus on it for the kids. They need to know what their history is all about. So that's what we're talking about. And let's see, what else are we going to talk about? Once again, the black church. Got to get it together. Got to get it together. Now, what are we going to talk about? Brotherly love, and that's the next portion of Africans in America. You want to talk, Elijah? You want to say hi? Say hi, everybody. Huh? You say hi, everybody? Oh, you freeze when I put the phone to your ear. You do the same thing with your mom. Okay, anyway, brotherly love. Okay. Okame, okay? He's from New York. He say okame. Here, you talk. Okay. This is Grandma. This is Elijah. No? All right. Grandma got to go back. All right. So brotherly love, that's the portion of Africans in America. And just to recap, Africans in America is a four-part series by PBS that talks about the journey that we had from first being captured in Africa all the way through the abolishment of slavery in 1865. Yes. So this is the third section that we're going to talk about just a little bit. And It is called Brotherly Love, and that's the section that they called that. It was from the period of 1791 through 1831. And once again, and they emphasize, and I do as well, that this history is not only African-American history. It is American history. It is American history. It is what America was built on, and it's very, I mean, it's not nothing nice, but it's important that we study and that we know it. So this was this period of time when they call it brotherly love because, once again, the black church was beginning to develop. And this was right after the Revolution where, quote, all men were created equal, right, in the Constitution. That was done. They had the Constitutional Convention, and I think that's where we left it last time, is that after the Revolution, they had the, or our leaders got together to write the Constitution and get it all together and what the meanings of the basis of the freedoms that were provided in this country. And they got together to talk about that, but they left out a couple people, which would be slaves. But, you know, the freedom and prosperity in this country was meant originally for all men were created equal. And at that time, African Americans weren't considered property. They weren't considered human. So, you know, I guess it may have been easy to overlook the fact that we were human and we also should have been, you know, created equal during the time that they were separated from Britain. But no, during the Constitutional Convention, they agreed that they wouldn't discuss issues of slavery for 20 years. So they didn't for 20 years. Back to Thomas Jefferson. He always felt that, and he's one of the original authors of the Constitution, so they weren't able to, the Constitution prohibited addressing slavery until 1808. They weren't able to talk about it until then. And he always said that there is something inherently wrong with the system of slavery, but they, all the leadership and even himself holding over 200 slaves, could not imagine America without all the free labor. So, you know, it was pretty screwed up. I mean, it was, you know, and anytime you have two systems working against each other, eventually one's going to take over. And they don't work very well when you're trying to work two opposing systems together. If you have someone that spends all your money and you save, that's not going to work. And but if you, you know, you, in your heart of hearts, you know as a human being slavery's wrong, but yet as a leader of a country, you're going along with it every day. Something like the people that, you know, told Eddie Long, well, shit, you know, you are paying me this. And it's all about money. I mean, everything, it's all about money. And I just pray that as the years go by, more and more of these crooked-ass pastors and leaders and so-called leaders or whatever they are, I hope they begin to become more and more exposed, because I never, ever thought that God would allow himself to be pimped. And it always comes true. And once again, there were many, many times God don't just out you like that on Front Street in front of the whole world unless he's told you in your heart of hearts. Now, Eddie decided he wanted to ignore pre-warnings and hearts of heart. Well, Bo, your shit's out on Front Street, and you're getting clear and wearing pink shirts on the Internet. Elijah, don't you pick that up. You can't pick up 15 pounds. Thank you. All right, so where was I? This is crazy. I feel so much, and that, I actually cry. That's why I was telling a friend of mine, I'm like, you know, I'm actually crying when I think about it. Same thing with Hurricane Katrina. You know, I really love black people, and especially kids. And when you just outrightly target, you know, a race of people or whatever that are so unaware of what's going on. I look at those, some of the people from Louisiana, just, you know, everybody is just bad to where some, it's just bad. How do you let our people just be bad like that? And it's like, it opened my eyes. I'm like, look at me in California, never thinking there are people in another part, not very far from where I live, that are in such bad conditions. I mean, and then, you know, even in my own city, and there's no way that I could just go through day after day after day of my life and not try to make a change for that, for the better for those people. I just can't do it. So, and I hope you can't do it, too. And whatever way you want. Join the Association of African American Single Mothers, and you need the only thing that money talks and bullshit walks. And at this point, that's probably the only thing that's going to turn anything around. All the money I'm getting from this tutoring is just, I'm going to use it and put it out there to put out the message that we're trying to put out to where, I mean, you have to believe in yourself, and black people need to get their shit together, and if not for yourself, for your children. The stories of you don't want to pay for tutoring, but you pay to go have sex with a man you're not married to, or, you know, you'll just drop your kid off with anybody while you go and shake your ass, or just all kind of crazy stuff. Every reason under the sun for you not to properly take care of your kid. You know, that kind of stuff has to stop because there is a result that comes from that, and we're looking at it. When we look at our kids' results and STAR testing and all of that and how many are graduating from high school and college and the birth rates and all that shit, all that is the result of lousy-ass parenting and government and leadership that don't give a shit. When our leaders are Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, I mean, come on. You might as well say the dude from American Gangster is our leader. I mean, come on now. That's the kind of leadership that we want. Our leader is Michael Jordan. That's the kind of leadership black people think they deserve. So that's the kind of leadership you have. You know, and it just pisses me off that all these black people with this money sit back and they flat the Russell Simmons, the Oprahs, all even black actresses. And then you get mad at white people when they go get a kid from Africa. But they ain't going to get your black ass kid because you're supposed to get your own damn kid yourself. I'm glad they're going to Africa. They get a black American kid. If they saw your black ass getting a black American kid and taking care of it, I'm almost certain of that. But no, we worry about ourselves and our Bentleys and our shit. We don't really care. We worry about flossing and dressing and fucking and smoking and drinking and Swishers. That's what the fuck we worry about. We don't worry about if Elijah's going to have a place to thrive in 20 years. We don't worry about that shit. Well, we do because we his family, but you don't. And I care about your family. I'll probably care about your family more than you care about your own goddamn family. Case in point, I've always been everybody's mama for my son's friends. From the time I had more fun with these little kids than going out with y'all grown motherfuckers faking in the streets. So I always stayed home with my kids, having fun, buying pizza, watching movies, giving them the whole house so they can thrive and be kids what kids are supposed to do. So all these little boys all through Natomas all over the past 15 years. Well, I see one, my son's best friend, Giovanni, about 6'3 now and as handsome as he wants to be. Stacy gives me a hug and a kiss and almost lifts me off the floor. And, I mean, just a smile on his face just says that he remembers all those days when I gave to him while his mama was out tramping. And we know she was out tramping. You know, and that to me means more than anything. And it's not just him. And he said, yeah, I talked to Fred the other day. I said, well, you know, I threw him out. He's like, yeah, I know, I heard. You know, and they laughing like, your sons are dumb. And they tell me, your sons are stupid. If you and my mom, Miss Stacy, that's why I don't care about my sons and their little butthurt-ass attitude. You know, because that happens. And he's not the only one. Everywhere I go in Natomas, I see those boys. Hey, Chris Posey's mom. That's what matters. That's why, that's what you live for. That's what you live for, not for yourself. Not to go, and I look at all this Facebook crap. Question of the evening, what do you do when your man don't get hard? What the fuck difference is that making? Why do you care, you little slut? Think, talk about something that's going to bring people together and not that stupid. Well, who's answering? Every dumb guy with a penis on Facebook. That's all we're interested in. That's all we'll get. Learn your history, learn you who you are, and get some self-respect for yourself. Why do I care that black boys are going to jail hand over foot? Why do I care? And most people don't care. Like, girl, that ain't my one, girl. Why? That's sickening to me, and we're the only race of people that do that. It's sickening. It's sickening, and you need to wake your ass up. So, and if you're up, wake somebody else up. I'm not saying you ain't up, because I'm up. But if you up, wake somebody else up. Help a kid. Don't go to a church if they fronting like this. Don't go to a church if they only feed the people that go to the church. Don't go to a church if you don't see them doing outreach. Don't go to a church if they don't have a good after-school program that's going to bring your kids up so you don't have to rely on the public school system, Elijah, leave that alone. Don't go to a church that doesn't help your family in a substantial way. Don't do it because it's not doing the job that it's supposed to be doing. So, like I'm supposed to be doing. And now I need something to drink. Water, because Elijah's here. So we're going to take a break. We're going to play Mellow Guitar Groove because I want you to be mellow. And I'm not even as perky as I normally am, you know, this week because of that Eddie Long shit. I'm just not. It's just like, you know, that's why I had to go get my guy and keep him for a couple of days just to kiss him and let him know, you know. You'll never be nobody's prey. And if you are, guess what? Grandma going to be broadcasting from jail. So make sure you learn how to do the hookup. Yeah. You hear me, baby? Huh? What, Grandma? Huh? He's too busy trying to lift the weight. So we'll be back, me and E. Trying to type something on the somebody told me to open up the chat, and I try to do everything I'm told to do, but I'm not very good at it sometimes. So that's what I'm doing, trying to talk through Elijah. But we are talking about Black history. We're talking about Black zealots, and you know, just one more thing on the church thing. You know, I try to. You know, being born and raised Catholic, you know, it was really important that you did, you know, go to confession. Elijah, that you did go to confession, you know, and mass once a Sunday, you know, and when I went to private school, of course, it was always the first Friday of the month, always, and, you know, and it was always very important that you follow the ways of where you know, your parents taught you. But then after so long, I started to grow spiritually and never really feeling like I got anything from church. So I changed and tried to go to, like, Methodist, Baptist, you know, where, yeah, they got better music and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and then I got involved a lot in one church in particular here in Sacramento, and, you know, and that's like the worst thing you can do. And then it may be the best thing for you, depending on you, because if you like to be, you know, straight up and honest to yourself and to God, you know, then it's good that you get involved and really find out. But I started to find out things that were, like, not healthy and, you know, all of the, what happened? All of the pastor's kids hated him, the pastor's wife hated him, and people were stealing, and the deacon just dropped some weed when he was walking through the place, and he was, and I'm like, you know, after a while, although I love my friend that first involved me, I had to let that shit go, because that's not what a church is supposed to be about. And when I really got to know the pastor, it was more that he was doing this, so he had to work for the white man. He tired of working for the white man. So I'm like, this is how you do it, huh? On the backs of poor black people. And now you're talking about a church with no programs. Okay, and my car was the nicest car in the parking lot. So I'm like, wow. You know, and then what do people do? Show up every Wednesday, show up every Sunday, fake around, talk about each other. Don't get no progress in life, no spiritual growth. And it's just more like a cult than a church. I don't know. But anyway. But, you know, you find God inside and all the things on the outside follow, baby. They really do. So back to Brotherly Love, 1791 to 1831, with Tommy Jeff and all men created equal except for the Negroes. You know, and even he said that the slave would rise from the dust. You know, even he knew. And he was the first to write about black inferiority. You know, hey, Elijah, don't touch that. You know, he was the very first. It was, he said it was his duty to care for black people because they basically couldn't care for themselves. But, you know, so he was the very first person to put it in writing that, you know, we couldn't do it. Now, what during the same period of time, Eli Whitney came up with the cotton gin. And they say that, you know, basically with the invention of the cotton gin, what two men could do in a day, now 100, it would be like 100 men could do. It's like two in one day that 100 could do at the same time. So basically if we're the labor, you know, and now labor can produce more because of this machine. Well, what you going to do? You're going to increase your labor because the whole point is to increase that money, is to make that money. I mean, that's what slavery was all about. I mean, and at that time they said that within 50 years after the cotton gin, 75% of the world's cotton came from America, 75% after the invention of the cotton gin. But what it did, it constituted pretty much the demise, well, two things, the demise of the black family, because they didn't really care about our family units. I mean, we got married during that time, and they said that when the white ministers, don't touch that phone, when the white ministers did the ceremonies, they would leave out portions that references to death do us part. Which, of course, because they could break us up at any time. And with the cotton gin, it was just like we were more so cattle that family units had no significance. Because if I needed you over here and you're going to go over there, and I don't care if you got kids, I'm going to break you the kids from the mamas, all of that. So they said it carried a price for black people and a system of government that, of course, that they'd have to later deal with, and no black family would be safe. And at this point, laws were passed because, you know, they did have some relative freedoms and stuff, and there were instances where black people could buy their freedom, but laws were passed to keep slaves under tighter watch because they just needed so many of them. So at this time also, Elijah, white people started being very, very frightened because of the numbers of blacks and the situations that they found themselves in, where they were saying that sometimes, I mean, the black people now had, or white people had to sleep under bodyguard because of it. And during the same time, slaves began to take up arms and to rebel because you're tearing our families apart. You know, we have this religion behind us. You know, we are studying the Bible now. We have these black preachers behind us. You know, some come from free states and are able to teach us this stuff, the same stuff that you were able to free yourself from Britain. You know, we want to free ourselves from you. So they started taking up arms and doing different things and actually revolting. And during the same time, the Haitian uprising took place. And that was between, you know, the French, the Haitian people, Caribbean people, and the French. And in 1791, there was a slave revolt in Haiti. And at that time, that resulted in 100,000 Haitian slaves out of bondage, you know, because they won. They kicked their ass. So in 1801, former slaves and masters started to sit down and, you know, talk it out, I guess, after 2 years of fighting, more than 2 years, 1801, 9-10 years of fighting, they sat down and, you know, started talking about, yeah, let's just put slavery to an end, and it was outlawed. And America, on our end, after all of this stuff, of course, we tried to shut down the fact that it was even happening. The news, that's the last thing they wanted, American slaves, to know that these blacks in Haiti, and it wasn't Haiti at the time, my French is awful, so I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. I think I did on an earlier show before. But they didn't want the African-American Negroes to know that somebody got, the French got their ass beat, and now you got these free people in Haiti. But, yeah, they tried to suppress it, but, of course, they can't. You never can suppress truth and justice, so they should have known that. All right, so in 1802, the French tried again and attacked the Haitians, trying to reinstate slavery. But again, they got their asses kicked. So in January 1804, it was over. It was a done deal. Okay, so for that reason, that's how we acquired Louisiana from the French. Because when Napoleon tried to, trick the Haitian people, Elijah? Tried to trick the Haitian people and say, okay, we're going to talk about it. And then while they're talking, start a second war to say, no, the talk is over. Slavery's back. But then the second time, the Haitian people kicked their asses. And Napoleon said, you know what? Since that didn't work, no need to keep Louisiana. So we'll let you have it. And it was the biggest land mass purchase or whatever, $15 million for the Louisiana purchase, and that alone doubled the size of America. So maybe, you know, they're thinking back on that. When you ruin Louisiana, maybe they're thinking back on that. I don't know. So this time I didn't even go all the way through. Like I said, this whole week I'm on a bummer over just the consciousness that a man that has a 25 to 35 member congregation bamboozled pretty much all of those people to the tune of money, and then he's got tax exempt status, right? So he doesn't even pay taxes on all of this shit, but, you know, has a jet and Bentleys and stuff and tailored suits, and he's not very attractive at all. And then somebody said he'd have fake hair, which is okay. You can have fake hair because I have fake color hair. But I'm just so ashamed because anytime when something comes out, I don't know. I just love black people. When somebody black does something dumb, I just feel like it's a reflection on me and all the hard work my parents put in for my family, so we wouldn't be out there doing dumb stuff. But our good stuff these days don't compare to all the dumb shit that black Americans are doing out there. So they don't see us. There's nobody to defend Barack Obama because black people don't fucking defend their cousins, their sisters, their brothers, their children. let alone this black president most of us didn't even fucking think get elected. Elijah's in the other room. So, you know, I'm so tired of this shit. And it'll stop, and it'll stop when somebody with money puts their foot down and says, like Angelina Jolie and all these white folks, puts their foot down with their money and do things that are morally right with their money. Like, what's the homeboy from Louisiana, that white boy? And I like him. He's cute. Ray Connick Jr., that dude. Him and Angelina and Brad and, you know, and maybe Madonna and other Sean Penn and, you know, where are the black people? Okay, maybe they don't talk about it. Maybe they don't talk about it. Maybe that's why I don't see it. Maybe they don't put it on the news, because I watch all the news. Maybe that's it. I don't want to say we don't do it, but where are they? You know, Puffy want to be the next big leader. Okay, well, lead, nigga. The kids are fucked up everywhere, not just in New York. Or that black teacher in New York, you know, that's on CNN. Well, open up a school in every ghetto. Why has it only got to be where you're at? You know, my picture is bigger than just where I'm at. I fixed where I'm at. I have two sons. The King and the Thomas left with no felonies. For some reason, that was special here in Sacramento. And okay, now he's going to college in Los Angeles. Okay, I need to fix all the other little kids that I see and make sure Elijah don't be a prey to some idiot fool and your kids and support the Association of African American Single Mothers, because they support, we support, I support education on all levels, from kids in the third grade. Had the most wonderful time tutoring fifth grade math. You know, I mean, those kids, they're staring at my dreadlocks like I'm an alien, you know, but they're loving me, and we're having fun, and that's how children should feel when it's time to learn, not in these gray, dark places we call public education with teachers that could give a damn, or if your kid is a little hyper, they want to throw him on some Ritalin or some shit. So it's like, come on, people. Only thing that's going to fix this is somebody getting together and working in love and getting shit right. And I got a caller. I'm going to try this, so don't do nothing stupid, because I'm going to get you if you do something stupid. So I'm sorry if I mess up. Let's see. I don't know how to do it. I've never done it before, man. How do I do it? Okay. Let's see. I've never done it. Drop, hang up, call. Okay, I don't want to do that. I'm sorry, man. I'm going to have to read my directions. I love you. Let me take a break. Maybe I'll find out, and then I'll be right back. Old school party, I'll be right back. Thank you. It's the diary. This is your baby Stace. It's September 26th. I'm with baby E over there on Grandma's treadmill, messing up. All right, so I got a call. I think I know. I'm sorry if I hang you up. I know I love you. Here we go. Hey. This is Stacey. Thank you for calling the diary. How can I help you?
Can you hear me, Stacey?
Yes, I can. Who's
this? This is Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Yes, I've been trying to call in.
Yes. Call. This is my future co-host, everybody, Terry.
Hey, if she can get me in.
Yay! So what's up?
What's up? I've heard most of the show. It's pretty good. I just want to say I'm not going to go towards Bishop Eddie today because I had enough of that yesterday. But one thing I do want to say is when you were talking about, celebrities helping out and doing things for the black community, that really needs to be done, especially in the disability area, you know.
Right.
We do have a lot of African-Americans having their own organizations, but I am yet to find a celebrity that has an organization geared toward African-Americans with disabilities, because we are out here.
Right.
You know, I think people don't realize that black people do have kids with disabilities.
Oh,
yeah,
definitely.
Straight.
Sure, so, my best friend and my niece have autism and
mm-hmm,
Asperger's. So,
mm-hmm. And
know?
We do have, I can't remember her name. She was on the lady. I can't. And she does, her and her husband have an organization for autism because her son has autism.
Right,
and Tony
right.
Braxton. But I'm talking about, you said, But I'm talking about, like you said, P. Diddy. I mean, you know, it wouldn't be nothing for him to drop 30 wheelchairs off in my door.
Right.
And he can write it off, you know.
Exactly.
It wouldn't be nothing for him to send a child to have heart surgery. It wouldn't be nothing.
Nothing
for
any of them. That's my
mm-hmm.
thing, you know.
Yeah, nothing.
And it at some point for black Americans, you know I'm going to do what I'm going to do when I can do what I mean, when I had
mm-hmm.
a job, I did what I was going to do. So it's never been that problem for me.
Exactly.
But it shouldn't be a problem for anybody, and as bad off as black Americans are, that's all I'm saying. If we were okay or even halfway okay, you know, it's like what will it take for us to build a consciousness of we need to really start trying to do something about all the numbers, all the perceptions, all of
exactly.
that stuff. And whether our kids are, you know, with disabilities or blessed not to have them, I mean,
mm-hmm.
all of our kids are pretty much bad off.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
On every level. So, you know, that's my thing, is just to wake black people up. I don't know what it's going to take. And then you said you don't want to talk about Eddie, but I'm looking on his Facebook, and they, you know, they will carry the cross for you kind of stuff. I'm like, come on
now.
Yeah,
and he did
you know,
come out. He did come out this morning because I had my alarm set for 5 this morning to get up for his live streaming, but I couldn't get up, so I got up later to see it. And he, you know, basically was saying that, he, you know, he couldn't really talk about it, but it wasn't true. And, you know, and he's, you know, got his stones. He hasn't threw out yet. People were wondering why he didn't come out, but they were on a 20-day fast prior to this before he could come out. So, you know, this is what came out of his sermon.
That makes my head want to bust. Oh, I was on
a
fast, so
mm-hmm.
I can address the
fast. Yeah. The whole congregation was on a fast.
Oh, okay.
So,
you tell
mm-hmm.
black people anything. Okay.
Yeah. And so my thing
all
is,
right,
you know,
Terry.
You just got to sit back and, you know, let it go through the court system and see, you know, basically what happens. You know, that's pretty much all anybody could do. Another guy on Facebook was putting all these black ministers that have had different accusations, you know. So
what's up with that?
You know, it's not new. It's just who you are and how they bring you out in the media. So.
And you know, and it'd be one thing if it's like a whole bunch of women that he was
yeah.
involved with. You
yeah.
know,
yeah.
I would be like, oh, dude,
yeah.
man, you know, shoot, you a pastor and a pimp.
Thank you. And that's
boy,
usually what they are in the first place. They start off being a pimp.
Right?
And
you like how many
so you,
here in Sacramento,
know.
Right?
Yes,
right?
exactly. We hear.
I'm like, how you going to
yes.
go from being a pimp to being a pastor?
It's,
you just pimping people instead of hoes.
That, you know, it's easy. You have a flock of women, and when you go into church, being honest,
you got
another flock
of women. And it's all about charisma. That's
mm-hmm.
the only thing that attracts them. So
mm-hmm.
at the
mm-hmm.
end of the day, you got to have something to back up your charisma other than
exactly. And I believe what happens is that, you know, certain men have an anointing of it, and certain men use that anointing that God gives them in the wrong way. You know, if you have a charisma, you can use
it differently.
Yes.
And so many black people are confused because of it. Well, you know what? And it's not only black people. White people,
isn't.
Too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've been coming out, too. But
yes,
I'm
do.
Just, like I said, when it's a black person, I feel like I'm ashamed. Like, he's a member of my family when it's somebody black. You know, that's just how I roll. And I hate that.
Because
you
it
know?
Never goes. Because for us, it never goes away.
Right.
Even if he is. Even if he goes to court and this is all a lie and the kids all say it's a lie, it's still there for us.
It's still
they
there.
They will always bring it up for us. Yeah.
And it's not like you were like the president of Microsoft. You were a pastor in this kingdom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're leading souls and stuff.
Yes.
Or, you know, so that's the messed up part, that nobody should be able to have that type of accusation against a man that is leading people to Christ.
Exactly.
You know, I mean.
Exactly.
That's just crazy. But, Terry, thank you for calling. I'm going to have to split. But,
I know. I finally got in. I don't know what, you know, Blog Talk is changing a little thing up. So
they changed.
It's hard for me to get up, get in.
And, you know, I went off the air. Were you listening when I went out?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, my phone cut out, and I had to call back in. So it's all good. All right, boo. I will talk to you soon. Thank you for calling.
Okay, honey.
All right. Bye.
All
right, that's Terry. That's my girl. We good. We good. This is a diary where black people need to get their shit together, and I'm going to help you do it, and I'm going to get my shit together, too. So, you know, so I'm not even going to talk about what me and my family have been talking about and how we've finally tapped into the real of what living is all about. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm just going to show you. But this is a diary where me and Elijah. Elijah, we going now. You want to tell everybody bye-bye? Huh? You tell bye-bye? Yeah, you got my shoes? You wearing grandma's shoes? Oh, he putting on his own shoes. Yeah, we going bye-bye. All right, so we going bye-bye. You tell him you love him? Huh, you say I love you? You say I love you?
Feet.
Feet? Okay, give grandma her shoes. Okay, he's giving grandma, say feet. Okay, grandma got him. He don't want to tell y'all he love you, but I do. And I want you to have a good week. And know this is the diary where we're going to talk about more. Oh, one last thing I wanted to end it. Dog it. And during the Black History thing, you know, how they could break up the black family. Well, back then, according to slave mentality, master mentality, the black man was never considered a part of the black family. Okay, so as you go throughout your week and think about your life, and think about your kids, and think about if you're married, if you got a husband, or think about your boyfriend, or whatever. Back then, the black man was not considered to be part of the family. So, is he part of the family today? I don't know. Or are we just continuing the traditions that, you know, we had back then? So, this is the diary. This is where I love you. Me and Eli have a wonderful week, and we'll check with you next Sunday at 3, boo. Bye-bye.